If you had only these two options for the future of our church, which would you choose? Would you rather it look more like a country club or a leper colony? Those are the only two choices. No enchilada shack, no anything in between. A country club or a leper colony? Would you rather this place be somewhere where you can find the best society, where the respected and the respectable people gather, where life is good, the mojitos are fresh, the tea sandwiches are irresistible, where there's plenty to do? You can even get involved in a social outreach program for the local needy population if you like. And there are plenty of fascinating people to meet, most of whom share your social values and would even help you get a leg up in your other areas of life. A place to mix and mingle. A place, eventually, that could become the envy of all the other churches. Or would you rather this be a place where dirty people are, where the poor and the helpless gather? Outcasts who wouldn't know what to do with your help if you gave it. If this were a place where the smell of shame, rejection, misery fills the air, where the best the people here could do would be scrape for food, scrape for bandages to share, where someone is always weeping and no one could leave their condition if they wanted to. Maybe you're looking for the catch. Let's see, I remember something about the Bible using leprosy as a picture of sin, our deep incurable disease, our corrupted nature that only God can heal. So is the question this: would you rather have a place where you can be comfortable and pampered in the world, or gather with sinners? If that's the train of thought that you're on, you're very close. But there's another dimension of living with leprosy that the Bible picks up on that I want to keep in view. Lepers live where? Let's say in Jewish society. Outside the camp, outside the city, a safe distance from normal people. Lepers were feared, rejected, abandoned by humanity. Most people would want to see them swept up and cleaned out. Most people could do without the stench. They could do without the moans and cries of abject need calling to them, coming from a leper colony. Lepers were beyond help. They were assigned to oblivion in people's minds. If they don't have to see them, they don't have to think about them. But do you think that a leper could escape the knowledge that she was a leper or he was a leper? Could she hide the bandages under some pretty clothes and put on some makeup and slip into the country club for an afternoon? No. That's the other dimension. Lepers know their lot as well as anyone. They live with the admission and the awareness of their uncleanness. They live with the awareness of others' hatred and rejection of them. And so it is with citizens of God's kingdom. Citizens of God's kingdom are despised by the world. Citizens of God's kingdom are seen as lepers. Maybe you didn't know that. They are pariahs, a drain on good society when they reveal themselves to be really, truly associated with Christ for no other reason than that. They have identified with Christ, that shameful, humiliating figure. They have answered Christ's call to repentance. They understand themselves to be spiritual lepers. What's worse? They know they're outcasts, but they don't try to fit in. It might all be fine if they at least pretended to belong. But there they are, always admitting they're sinners, always talking about sin. Who does that? There they are, says the rest of the world, always running around, crying out, unclean, unclean. In today's passage from Matthew chapter 5, we encounter familiar words of Jesus, often called the Beatitudes. In this passage, Jesus is saying to you this morning, take heart if you've come to the point where the world despises you, where it hates you, where it sees you as a leper. Don't leave the leper colony. No, stay there. See your sin. Cry out unclean. Accept the abandonment of the world. Why? Because God delights in using what is weak, what is despised, what is put to shame. He uses it to show his glory. He delights in giving the kingdom to sinners. He calls lepers blessed. Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain. And when he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the lepers." Do you know what it means to be blessed? What that word means? It means to be marked out by God in the presence of everyone. To be marked by God in the presence of everyone. Yet the very nature of leprosy is just the opposite, is it not? To bear the marks, even on your body, of rejection and shame. The very nature of leprosy is to have a deep lack, a desperate need. Even apart from the bodily marks, it leaves people with the deepest of needs. And the same is true of spiritual lepers, those who become aware of their spiritual need. There's a lack. Blessed, Jesus says, marked by God. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The poor in spirit, Matthew makes us one, he wants us to know. Those who know they are spiritual lepers, spiritual beggars in desperate need, spiritually poor people, people who admit they're sinners, not in the sense of, well, yeah, I know everyone sins. Everyone tells a little white lie sometimes. But in the sense that this is their condition. They are corrupted beyond their ability to help themselves. To make that statement requires a great deal of humility. There's no comparing to other people. Well, he has more lesions than I do. No. There's no finding ways to make yourself look important, more holy, more anything. This posture of humility is the very thing that the present age in which we live can't stand. It demands that you do everything in your power to remind the world who you are, that you are someone, that you can navigate this life as well as anyone. Show the world through every media outlet that even what you had for breakfast is remarkable. Show the world, or at least those in your orbit, a little self-praise, a little boast, or we'll take a little put-down of someone else to show that you're with it, that you don't really belong in that leper colony. Yet that same posture of humility, the poverty of spirit, is the first sign of repentance. It's the very mark on you that God is at work, that he has something more for you. It's God's mark of blessing upon you, his handiwork on display for the whole world. And what belongs, present tense, to the poor in spirit? Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven. No need to build a kingdom here, not even a small one, even in the leper colony, not even an imaginary one that you can recruit one or two people to affirm for you. The kingdom of heaven belongs to the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Marked out by God are the ones who grieve over sin. Well, you say, it doesn't say they're mourning for sin. It just says they mourn. That's true. And God is touched by all grief. He is touched by all loss. He is touched by all mourning that we experience. But it's a special mark of God. It's a special mark of God's work when you can mourn over the presence of sin in your life. The continued lack of holiness, the continued need for mercy. Think about a time of deep grief in your own life. What was it like? At its peak, could any insult hurt you, from other people? No. In a state of grief like that, you're impervious to what other people think about you. You're impervious to what other people think about how you look or how you're acting or what you're going through. And at the peak of that grief, weren't all the pleasures of the world tasteless and empty? Wasn't everything else a blur compared to the depth of grief, to the depth of your mourning? The one who mourns over sin is filled with the reality of his leprosy. What abandonment, what insult, what degradation can hurt him? He sees himself clearly. He mourns the loss of deep communion with God that belongs to his nature, but that is also played out in his sinful thoughts. This disruption of communion is played out in his sinful thoughts and his aspirations and his desires and his actions. And yet, in the mourning over that disruption, he is blessed. The vision, even the ability to see that he is a leper, to mourn over his sin, is a miracle granted by God. That vision, this mourning, is the mark of God's favor on his life, on her life. This grieving over sin and separation from God is the mark that one day sin will be no more. The sin nature will be fully healed. Communion will be restored. And God himself will embrace this leprous sinner and say, "Mourn no more. I will comfort you with my own embrace." Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. In this world, the proud, the strong, the self-assured, the dominant are considered blessed. No display of self-regard goes unrewarded, even if it's only a little like on your Facebook status. But Jesus says, blessed are those whose strength is muted, who choose gentleness, who see others better than themselves, who step aside, whose aspirations are to be like the Savior, to take his yoke and learn from him, from Jesus himself. In this life, they will be assigned to the leper colony. In the age to come, they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Spiritual lepers make righteousness their food. They want it, work for it, pursue it as that which will nourish the fibers of their soul. All their desire is for the next morsel of holiness. They can't get enough. They're always in need, wanting to be more righteous. What's the implication there? It's that we're not going to reach perfection here. There's always more righteousness to be had. That pursuit, the pursuit of righteousness, will land you in the doghouse with the rest of the world, but not with God. Seek righteousness as your very life, and you are blessed. You will be satisfied one day. Take heart when the world despises you. Rejoice when you experience the conviction of sin. Rejoice when you find even that your leprosy goes deeper than you thought. If that hasn't happened lately, maybe God is calling you to keep examining, to look a little closer. Examine your life in the light of Scripture. Start small, even if you need to. If you don't read the Bible, start reading it. If you read it only for comfort, let the Holy Spirit guide you in reading it for conviction. 2. Commit to reading more Scripture. And when it exposes sin, rejoice that God is marking you out for greater comfort, for satisfaction, for fruits of righteousness, and an inheritance that will last through eternity. When conviction comes, try sharing that with someone. There's a bold step. Try sharing it with someone. Rejoice in removing the pretenses. Try replacing one instance of gossip or criticism, one instance of self-praise, with this phrase. Here's what God is teaching me lately. And then, share what he's been showing you. And I mean the sin that he's been showing you about yourself, the leprosy that he's exposing. There's nothing more refreshing than to hear this from someone's lips. Listen to what God is teaching me lately. He's showing me that I'm not the center of the world. And to hear that somebody knows what you already see. Imagine doing that yourself. If that were to go on here, what would the result be? I guarantee we wouldn't turn into a country club. But maybe people would see that they can be sinners here. Not to celebrate their sin, but that they can come in and be sinners with leprosy and find that healing happens here. That they can expose what God is teaching them and not receive criticism, judgment, a blind eye, or mere tolerance. Now look what happens in verses 7 through 9. That was verses 2 through 6. In 7 through 9, we see that leprosy not only is this need, it creates a need for the person, a total poverty, but a leprous person also, in the spiritual realm, takes on liabilities. In the real world, lepers can't do that. They can't take on any responsibilities or liabilities or give anything. But in the spiritual world, it's different. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. It's a liability to give mercy because you are giving out of your own resources. When you see someone in need, when you are acting out of empathetic compassion, not because a person deserves it, not because they can pay you back, not because later on down the road they can return the favor, but surely because of their need, then you are giving out of your own resources, and it's a liability. It costs something. The result of that kind of perpetual action is that in the judgment, the merciful will receive mercy from God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Do you want to see God? I do. Am I pure in heart? No. But I have to present my heart to the God who can cleanse me, not keep washing the outside of the cup, pretending I'm clean, but exposing the very core of my heart, the very depth of my leprosy, to the God who made me and who knows me, and ask him to wash and wash again and wash, please, Lord, one more time. I want to see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. This peacemaker isn't somebody who goes around telling people to get along. It's not like, okay, you're fighting and you're fighting. Come on now, hold hands, say you're sorry, and get along. Could involve that, but it's restoring something to an undamaged state out of one's own resources. It could be relationally. It could be taking two people and having them restored in their relationship. It could be you taking that first step to restore a relationship with someone that you have a broken friendship or relationship with. It could be materially. It could be restoring somebody materially to a state where they are undamaged. They have what they need. And it can also be spiritual peacemaking. Making of peace, making of well-being, restoring someone to an undamaged state. But that's not possible unless you're willing to call out someone's sin. Do you see why I say that? You can't restore someone in their relationship to God. You can't restore them spiritually if you're not willing to identify sin. And it's not possible without also in yourself, sowing seeds, sowing to the Spirit, sowing into your own spiritual life. Now, we imagined two scenarios, right? Imagine those two scenarios again. This parish becomes a country club. Hundreds of people are flooding the church every day. filling the aisles, beating down the door, were the envy of churches. Or this parish is a leper colony, despised by the world, unable to accommodate itself to the expectations of the world, where we call out sin, but where we can also extend the grace that we've received. Where calling out sin isn't seen as judgmental or vindictive, but as a kindness of one leper applying balm to another. Where pretensions are replaced with conviction, compassion, and Christ-likeness. Standing from the view of eternity, standing back and looking over time at this parish, looking at both scenarios, which one is experiencing glory days? The small, despised, decrepit church that people think may not last any longer, but they are extending grace and healing, or the one that is packed to the rim and not able to extend that grace? Maybe it's time for some of us to give up the dream of being a country club church. For some of you, maybe that even means giving up the vision of past glory days of this parish. Maybe it's time to give up some social graces and courtesies and extend true gospel grace to one another. One act of costly compassion. 5 minutes of bringing your heart before God, pleading for purity. One loving, gentle, but true statement that helps restore someone, a sinner, to God. Can you imagine? Well, lepers have a deep need, and they take on that kind of liability, a liability that maybe no one will want to come to this church. They also take on abuse, persecution, and slander for the name of Jesus. Jesus says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. You can be persecuted for a lot of things. You can be persecuted for just being kind of an idiot. So Jesus is being very clear here. Persecuted for righteousness' sake. It's for this act of seeking and living out righteousness. Why? For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You stick your neck out for Jesus once, the world will think you're crazy. Maybe naive, but probably crazy. You stick your neck out for Jesus twice, you're evil. You're a pariah in this age. You know what you're doing, and you're continuing to do it. Jesus says the kingdom belongs to these. You will be rejected in this world. Blessed are you when others revile you, they hate you, they persecute you, they utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. They're making things up about you. They're willing to tell lies about you. They're willing to smear you. They're willing to assassinate your character only because you're associated with Jesus. And they say, and if you're going to put up with it, you deserve it. But Jesus says, rejoice. You're in the company of the prophets. They were rejected. They were killed. They were marked by God. Even when you fail at everything this week, when you fail at the Bible reading, when your passions rise up within you, and your self-regard flares up when you've been treated, even ever so slightly, amiss, and you want someone to know exactly who you are, even when you are overcome by the struggle instead of overcoming the struggle, when you slip into self-deception, when you put on pretenses and you put down other believers, when you no longer mourn over sin but begin to celebrate some aspect of the sin that belongs to you in which you're comfortable, when self-denial and self-abandonment have become naive ideals, there is still hope. There is still hope. You notice that Jesus didn't say, blessed are the ones who never sin. Blessed are the ones who have completely stopped sinning. No, blessed is the one who is vulnerable to the work of the Spirit. So even if there's the smallest prick in your conscience, even the smallest desire to belong to God's kingdom, this morning, turn around. Keep going back to where you were consigned by the world. Go there willingly. Relegate yourself to the leper colony outside the camp. And guess what you'll find there? A merciful Savior, ready, willing to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Hebrews tells us, Jesus also suffered. Where? Outside the gate. Why? In order to sanctify the people through his own blood. Therefore, let us go to him outside the camp and bear the reproach he endured. For here we have no lasting city. This world is not ours, but we seek the city that is to come. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Here's what the world sees. A group of despised, rejected people, the off-scouring of the world, the bathtub ring of the world, that it wishes it could scrub off and rinse down the drain to rid itself of. A battered group of people, too deluded to get themselves out of it and to assert themselves in this dog-eat-dog world. Here's what God sees. A spotless bride, ready for his son, whose suffering for sin God did not despise. People bearing his own mark. People who will bear his glory for eternity. So take heart when the world despises you. God delights to give you the kingdom. Amen.